Acts chapter 11. Well, we've got here the account of how the Jewish brethren accepted the baptisms of Gentiles, which for them was a huge thing. It might appear to us to be sort of fairly obvious, but this was a huge thing. And God confirmed them in that position and confirmed the decision that they'd taken because it was the right one. And he did it by bringing a famine upon Judea and Jerusalem. And to help the Jewish Christians there, who were Hebrew Jewish Christians, that is, they were local Jews who lived there in Jerusalem, the Gentiles, who had just been baptized in Antioch, sent them support. Now, you just see how all things are for our sakes. There was a famine. There was a drought. And this was clearly from God. But the function of it was to bring about unity between the Jews and the Gentiles, to help the Jews see, the Jewish Christians see, that actually these Gentile converts were serious and that actually they needed them. So there came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, these believers at Antioch had been troubled to some degree by the more extreme Jewish Christians who said, no, you've got to be circumcised, etc., etc. So they were sort of being rather despised by the Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem. But they're told now that there is going to be a famine throughout all the earth, over all the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. But I think the idea is that, yeah, there was going to be a famine in the whole area, but it was going to particularly affect Jerusalem. Because when they hear that there's going to be this famine, they believe the word of prophecy. They believe God's word and say, we must do something about this. If this famine is to be, as it says, over all the world, that is, it's going to be maybe throughout the Roman Empire, it's going to affect us, and it's also going to affect those in Jerusalem, the natural tendency would be to think, oh, we better stockpile food for ourselves. But instead, they say, oh, well, we better help the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. Perhaps why they saw that they needed to do that was because the social welfare system of the day there in Jerusalem would have been based around the temple and the system of synagogues. But as Jesus said, the time will come when they will cast you out of the synagogues. And the Jewish Christians were therefore no longer covered by the social welfare that was administered through the temple and through the synagogue system. And in that case, they were going to be in a really bad situation. So they could have argued, well, I am going to be in problems. I am going to have difficulty. I therefore can't, I have to care for my own family. But they went and made this special effort to support their poor brethren in Judea, and they did this by faith because the famine hadn't happened, but they sent what they could, believing that it would happen. Verse 29, every man according to his ability. So that would have included the poor people, everyone according as they could. Now, Paul later gets very enthusiastic about this idea, and he appeals to the Corinthians, who were separate, of course, from these people here in Antioch. They were a separate church but in what is now Greece, whereas Antioch was in what is now Turkey. And he also says, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that they should send every man according to his ability or opportunity. Same phrase is used here. And I think it's a reference to the parable of the talents, that everyone was given according to their ability and were to trade with their talents. Now, the parable of the talents can easily be misunderstood because we tend to think that the talents refer to your native ability to do something, but a talent was a weight, and the point is that each person was given a different amount of the master's wealth and was told that according to their ability, they were to trade with those talents. And here, the disciples, every man according to his ability, sent some welfare to the people in the believers in Jerusalem, who previously had been rather standoffish towards them. So one aspect of trading your talents, trading what God has given you, is to actually give it away to those who are in need. Now, there's quite an emphasis that all of them gave. Every man, according to his ability, decided to send relief to the believers that lived in Judea. And the Mosaic Law likewise encouraged everyone to give. Every man shall give as he is able, Deuteronomy 16, Leviticus 14. He shall offer even such as he is able to get. And I think that's the basis of what we read here. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief. And as Paul says to the Corinthians, let every one of you, not some of you, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him and hand it over to the brethren to take up to Jerusalem. So generosity is not just for the wealthy. We can all give, and we are all to have this spirit of giving. And it may be that you cannot give financially. We live in a world that is dominated by cash, by the idea of money. But you can still give in whatever form. And the idea of giving is, as David says, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Not to be like the Jews at the time of Malachi, who offered to God that which was lame and limping and blind, etc. We are to give to God, and giving means you are minus after you have given, not just giving what you don't need anyway. So then they sent this help. You see, it says, verse 29, all of them, according to their ability, every man, decided to send relief to the believers that lived in Judea, verse 30, which also they did. Well, that might seem a bit superfluous, but the idea is they decided to do this and they did it. In contrast, I think, with the people in Corinth who said they were going to give and they didn't. And this is so true to human nature, is it not? We encounter need and we think, I will give something towards that. I will donate, or I will give, I will help. But when it comes to doing it, we often don't. There's something in human nature that's very subtle that says, do it, but not right now. Just put it off until you actually don't do it. And as I say, I think this is in purposeful contrast to the Corinthians, who made a big fuss about, those poor brethren there in Judea, we'll be sending no help to them. And Paul went round boasting that the believers in Corinth had agreed to do that, and then he has to write to them and say, look, as you promised, perform the doing of it. Whereas these Christians in Antioch, they decided to do this, and they did it. That is the point, I think. And as I say, we all, I think, have experienced that sense. Yes, I would like to help, but not right now. When it actually comes to it, to actually becoming minus, to writing that check, giving that banknote or whatever it is, next week, next month, whatever. And this, I'm afraid, is the procrastination, the delay, which is almost the delaying tactics of the flesh. We have to realize that we have this tendency in us like that, to always try to renegotiate the commitment that we feel we should make. So let's take an encouragement from these people, and I'm particularly impressed by the way that they gave to brethren who previously had despised them and looked down upon them and questioned their sincerity. And it really does show the power of God's Spirit, which alone, I think, can motivate to absolutely genuine giving in a way that perhaps no secular person is motivated. A secular person can, of course, be very generous, often more generous than Christians are. But I think that the motivation that we have in Jesus, that he who was rich in various ways became poor for our sakes, as Paul tells the Corinthians in this context, that he motivates us to give with humility, to give secretly as he teaches us to do, and to give not expecting reward, but to give because of the grace that has been poured out to us. And that's why, and Paul develops this point in 2 Corinthians, the word for grace is the word for gift. And because we have received God's grace, God's gift, our natural response is to give in response to that. And as I say, the motivation there, the cleanness of heart is, I think, far different to any secular reason for giving.